Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Labor lawyer Ruth Major was on our show yesterday. She's with the law office of Ruth Major. She works with employees and small businesses. We asked her to answer some questions you may have about unemployment compensation and benefits. And she's joining us again for the next 25 minutes or so. We appreciate your time again, Ruth. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Really good. So, again, if you've got a question or comment, now's your chance to jump in on the phone line, 312-981-7200. For those that didn't hear it yesterday, Ruth, I just thought it was so helpful that you described the people that are eligible for unemployment benefits. Can you just give us a quick summary of that, and then we'll take calls?
Sure. So, normally, the people who are qualified are people who are terminated from their positions for reasons other than misconduct, or we had talked about another type of person who is covered. It also includes people if there's a significant decrease in their pay. Those people have been covered in the past. Now they're also including a much broader range of people, including people who have to stay home to care for their kids because their kids are out of school. So those people can apply for unemployment benefits right now and would be covered. And people who have to stay home to care for somebody who's been diagnosed with the coronavirus, either some family member would cover them. It's also covering people who can't work who are independent contractors, where in the past they wouldn't be covered, or self-employed or part-time employees as well. So yeah, all of those people would be covered. It wouldn't cover, I know some people have asked about whether if you don't want to work, you're working in an essential business, but you don't want to work because you're scared of getting the coronavirus.
Right.
It doesn't cover people who leave their jobs for that reason.
Right. So now you've just quit and you don't get unemployment as it was before. It still is if you are deemed essential and you can go into work but choose not to, which is a conundrum for some people. I don't envy them for that situation. What about gig workers? I'm an Uber driver. I just make tchotchkes at my house and sell them out the door, and that's how I meet my bills. Am I eligible? I'm not really working for anybody.
Yes, you're considered an independent contractor, and you would be covered. The other thing too is that I don't think I included just now is it also covers people who if they're subject to the stay at home order, so they're not working in an essential business and they're told that they shouldn't be going to work. They're covered as well, unless you can work from home. So a lot of a lot of jobs, people can work from home. But, for example, if you, work at a bookstore or you work at, some other business that isn't essential, that's not the kind of work you can generally do at home. So you would be covered and eligible for unemployment compensation
as well. Would be eligible, yeah.
Would be.
A
mm-hmm.
lot of people have a question like Ted's. You're on WGN Radio. Go ahead, Ted. You're on the air. Hi, Ted. Are you there? Ted is commission-based, he told my producer, and wants to know what his options are, Ruth.
Hello?
Hi, hold on, Ted. There you are. Ted, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I just read what you told my producer. You're commission-based. Is that right?
Yeah, so I work for an essential business. We're staying open, but we do have majority of our employees are commission-based, about 15 to 20 of us. I personally make about $115 a year. They are trying to keep everyone employed so they can get as big of a loan or grant from the government as possible. So my salary is going to be reduced probably by 50%, if not more. So I'm wondering what my options are.
Well, so a couple things. If, some people's employment or their compensation may go down because the business goes down, and it's not a decision of the employer to decrease it, which is what we had talked about the other day, yesterday. If it just happens that your pay goes down because business isn't as good and you're commission-based, that would not in and of itself make you eligible to quit your job and get unemployment. Okay, it has to be an act of the employer reducing your pay. If I had a question yesterday, if the question is if I'm let go or I'm one of these other covered people because I'm in a non-essential business or something, some other category that's covered, and I've had someone ask yesterday, can I get unemployment if my pay is solely commission? And people who are paid on commission have always been able to get unemployment if they're otherwise eligible. And the way the unemployment department determines how much you get, it wouldn't be based on what you think you would have earned in the future. They base it on your past income, your two best quarters in the last 12 months. They would look at that to determine how much your benefit should be.
But then Ted might be in the case where it would almost be better if his employer let him go. He could then get a more generous unemployment benefits package than maybe he's going to earn since his commissions are falling off.
That's correct. He may be. But, of course, it all will come down to whether or not his employer is going to make that decision to let him go. Because if he's in an essential area and his employer hasn't made that decision, then the only way he could, you know, he could apply is if he quit. And I don't believe right now he would be eligible, given those facts.
Well, and what do you think about that, Ted? I mean, you must appreciate the fact that your employer wants to keep you guys on, and they'll get a better federal package if they have more employees. I guess they could let you go, take the hit themselves, but then you'd get unemployment. What would you want to have happen? What's better for Ted?
Me personally, I think given that the reduction in just work overall, I can pull in the max on unemployment, which is roughly $4,500 a month for the next 3 months, I believe it is, 12 weeks or maybe even 16 weeks. So in the short term, I think unemployment is probably the better option for me. But like she said, I need the employer to agree to lay me off. I just can't quit due to the fact that my commission is now drastically reduced.
You got it right, Ted. Thanks for the call and good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
By the way, Ruth, will you just comment quickly on the time frame? They have extended the length of unemployment benefits, right?
That's correct. So it's 26 weeks normally. That's normally what it is. And they've extended it by another 13 weeks. And then they've increased the amount just for the initial four-month period.
Mike, you're on WGN Radio. What's your question? You're on the air.
Hey, John. Hey, Ruth. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I got a friend of mine who got laid off last year, and his unemployment benefits have run out. Is he eligible to reapply?
Well, right now what the Illinois Department of Employment Security is saying, it's on their website, is that if your payments are ending now, you can apply and you can receive the additional 13 weeks, but he wouldn't be able to apply, as far as I can understand it, and get another 26 weeks and 13 weeks. But he could apply and get this new additional 13 weeks that we're getting now through the stimulus package.
It's 11:26. Good luck to you, Mike, and to your friend. Ruth, stay right there. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. On a phone line, Ruth Major. She's a labor lawyer, major-law.com. Major-law.com is her website. She'll answer more of your questions and comments on the phone and on the text line, 312-981-7200 after the news. By the way, Steve, you said St. Jude coloring book, giving kids one the coloring tips on how to stay safe?
Yeah.
Adults could probably use that too, huh?
If they could stay in the lines. did I tell you we bought paint-by-number kits, Sharon and I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You said it wasn't as much fun as you thought it was going to be.
I'm not even going to start.
It's a lot more work than you thought it was going to be.
Way more work.
Brenda did one last summer, had some free time. We were out at an Airbnb, and so we thought, all right, we'll do puzzles and paint-by-numbers. I had the very same experience. She had the patience for it. I did not.
No. I opened it up, and it said, first of all, it said, iron the canvas. I'm not going to do that.
Box closed. I'll do the sky. Like, you know, just sweeping blue, little tufts of white.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, speaking of coloring projects to get us through this, it's a good way to bide the time and also maybe get some valuable information. There is a well-known artist in the Chicago area. You've seen his work everywhere. For instance, Mariano's bags are sometimes so pretty and ornately designed, and often that's the work of David Lee Sisko. Sisko is spelled C-S-I-C-S-K-O. You'll find it if you just go on Facebook or the web. But on David Lee Sisko's Facebook page, every day he posts another picture of something similar, something for you to color with a message. Today it's about staying safe in Paris. He has a worldwide audience. Tomorrow's picture on his Facebook page will be of the WGN Radio Studios. It will feature me and my daisy, dizzy, dappled dachshund. So I'm really looking forward to that. He sent me the prototype just a little while ago, and there it says Bill Williams. I said, no, it's John. He said, okay, I can fix that. So that'll be tomorrow's project. And again, it's David Lee Sisko on Facebook. Ruth Major with the Ruth Major Law Firm is a labor lawyer, and she's answering your questions about unemployment compensation and benefits. Ruth, are you ready to take more calls with us?
Sure, I'd love to.
And it's ruth-major.com, is that right? No, major-law, right?
That's correct. Major-law.com is the website.
Major-law.com. Let's go next to Danya. You're on WGN Radio. Danya, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I was just calling because I'm a substitute teacher for the school city of Indiana in Indiana. And, you know, of course, they closed the schools down. And so now, normally, substitute teachers don't receive unemployment insurance, but I think under this case, due to the coronavirus, we may be eligible because it's not the end of the school year. So they told us we had to go home, close the schools down. So now what do we do? So I went ahead and applied, and it looks like I might be receiving a weekly benefit amount. But also I wanted to know, will there be an additional $600 awarded to claimants once they've been approved?
Well, so if you're eligible for the unemployment benefits, then you should be eligible for the additional amount too, and that is an additional $600 per week, provided, as I understand it, you don't go over what your income is. So whatever the amount that your state gives to you, you should get an additional $600 per week during the first 4 months, unless, like I said, you go over what your average weekly income is based on what you earned during the year before.
So it sounds like the answer
determine what your average weekly income is, and if it goes above that, if the 600 would put you above, then you'll get whatever portion of the 600 brings you up to your weekly salary.
I work two jobs. I work as a substitute teacher, and I work at a grocery store in the evening. So my substitute position is kind of like on a, you know, because of the virus pandemic, it's on hold. But I still have my afternoon, evening job. I don't know if they'll penalize me for that. I don't know.
Right. Well, I think they would. My expectation would be that since you lost one source of income, that they would be just focusing on that one source of income, and you would get compensation for that loss.
Would the checks be separate, by the way, Ruth? Will I get one from the federal government to sort of the extra $600, or is it one check from the state that includes the extra $600?
My understanding is it would be one payment, because I believe that the federal government provides the funding to the states, and then the states distribute the payments.
That sounds like good news to me, Danya. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. You betcha. Dan, you're on WGN Radio. What's your question for Ruth Major?
Hi, Ruth. I work for myself. I've set myself up as a corporation, so I have paid out of the corporation unemployment taxes on my withholding. If I file for unemployment, will I be dinged in the future because I filed a premium, so I will have to pay more, just like when you have an auto accident, and then your premium goes up.
Boy, that's damned if you do.
Will they waive that?
Interesting right now. I don't know if I cut you off there, but it is interesting right now on the IDES website, which is the Illinois Department of Employment Security. They actually say on there specifically that it hasn't been determined yet whether these payments that are resulting from the coronavirus will result in increased, basically premiums in the future for employers.
There's no force majeure or something here that would forgive that?
Well, it's all, this is all so new, and it's all kind of just unfolding right now. So that's one of the issues that the state agencies, and it may be different from state to state, you know, it's one of the things that the state agencies are going to have to determine, and among other things, and I'm sure they're working on that right now, but on the website, they indicate that they have not made a determination yet on that.
All right, Dan.
Because basically, I'm weighing the fact that, and then I also don't know if you addressed this yesterday, because I have read the whole 800 pages. I've gone through the sections. Is the $600 on top of your payment, or is it up to what your weekly, total gross would be? It appears that, according to the wording of the act, that it's an additional $600, like you had just said, that is given to the state. So when they do figure, if they do ding you for that, will it just be for what they would normally pay you, your 47% of your income, or that additional $600? Because I want to weigh whether or not it's worth it to increase, jeopardize having to pay my future premiums versus taking out the SBA loan, which could be forgiven. And from what I understand, also reading the document, you have to apply for forgiveness, and it's not a guarantee that you'd be forgiven for that first 8 weeks of rent and payroll, because being non-essential, it looks like I can go back to work at the end of April unless they extend it again.
Hold on, Dan. Let's let her jump in with any advice she has on that.
So you're right. I mean, this is another one of the areas that we don't know, because it's never, to my knowledge, it's never happened or rarely happened before. So my guess would be that I don't think they're going to factor in the $600, because that's not something that would happen in the future, because usually they're increasing the premiums to address what they think may happen in the future based on what happened in the past. But the $600 would never, really be happening again. It's not very unlikely. So I think they probably wouldn't factor that into any increase. But again, there's so much going on that it's hard. I think it's hard for them to come up with all the specifics.
It takes
a little time.
And that's why, Dan, I'm going to let you go. Good luck to you. And again, Ruth Major can maybe help you out down the road. I'll give her contact information on this in just a little bit. But look, if it's a stimulus package, if it's a relief package, if this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing that's happening, then I think we need to err on the side of not charging people extra for using the insurance when their premiums come due the next time. Let's get as many people under the tent, because the idea is they'll spend the money. I mean, that's... It's not the stimulus package per se, but it'll work like that, right, Ruth?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Tom had a question for you. You're on WGN Radio. Tom, how can we help you?
Hi there. Two-pronged question. I think you may have already answered some of this, but my daughter was working full-time at a service industry that got shut down because of the COVID-19 ruling. So she's right now applying for part-time jobs, but nothing out there full-time that she can get, like working at a local grocery store. Now, being unemployed, if she stays unemployed, obviously she just gets, from what I understood, was up to this $600 amount if it's not beyond her historical pay. Now, if she does take the job and she's underemployed, is she also able to get the difference of what her normal pay would be compared to what she was making previously?
Can she double dip there?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Ruth. What's your answer to that?
Oh, okay. So a couple things. One is it's not – so just so it's clear, the amount she would get per week would be a percentage. It's approximately 47% of whatever her average weekly income was, plus $600. That would be the per week, and that's just for the first four-month period. Then it goes to just the 47%. But whatever the amount should never exceed what her average weekly salary was, just to be clear on that. And then what they typically do is if you get employment, they'll just offset what you get. You have to report your income to IDS, and then they do like an offset so that you're never, you know, you don't ever end up making more on unemployment with another job than you would, you know, if you were working. So they do offsets.
Does that make sense, Tom?
Yes. Great. Thank you for that.
Okay. Yeah, good. And that's kind of been the rule all along, but I think people are a little enticed, Ruth, by that extra $600. They wonder if that's going to be included in that calculation, or will they get that $600 either way? But it sounds like you're lumping it all together, and
yes,
you can't be making more on unemployment.
Exactly right.
John, are taxes and Social Security taken out in unemployment pay, or if you are allowed to say $600, you actually get $600? Does that make sense to you?
It does, I would have to actually go and double check this, but I'm fairly certain taxes are taken out, and I do know that when you file your income tax return, you do have to list your unemployment benefits as income.
Hey, John, I'm looking forward to hearing your unemployment expert. That would be Ruth Major. I'm an independent contractor home now with my kids due to the school closure. After several hours of failed attempts, I was finally able to register on the state's website around midnight last night. I suppose you're hearing that, Ruth, that people are having trouble simply accessing the system.
Well, I mean, I have heard people saying that they're having difficulty, and IDES itself is saying that they know that their system is being overwhelmed. What they have suggested, there's a couple things they've done. One is they are asking people to try. They say it's best to get on before 10 a.m. and after 3 p.m. So that's one of the things that they're suggesting. And I had suggested to somebody yesterday. It was actually one of your listeners, John, who contacted me, and I suggested to them that they, if it were me, I'd get up at 6 in the morning, or I'd go on at 11 at night or something. I'd try to find a time where I think it's least likely where people are going
right
to be on there and
right
try to apply then. The other thing is they have set it up, you know, asking people to just to access it based on the first initial of their last name. So they're asking people with the last first initial of a last name, A through M as in Mary, to go on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursdays. And they're asking people with N as in Nancy through Z, where their last name starts with an N through a Z, to go on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then Saturday is sort of an open day for people who couldn't get on.
Right.
And that way they're hoping it'll alleviate the heavy traffic and people can get on and apply.
This is the Illinois Employment Security Office. They're asking people to stagger themselves that way?
Exactly. It's on their website, but it's A through Mary is at Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. Nancy through the end of the alphabet is Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
and
Saturday's open for whoever.
630 texted in, I work beverage cart at a golf course part-time. Am I eligible for unemployment because the courses are closed due to the virus?
Well, I believe that this person would be eligible, but you know, they do look at, I believe they're still going to look at how much income the person worked, and historically unemployment didn't cover seasonal work. Okay. So that might be, they may still be applying that seasonal work limitation, and somebody who works for a golf course here in Illinois would very well might fall under that seasonal work exception. You know, you can apply, and there's no downside to applying and seeing what happens, because some of these questions are still in the gray area.
Well, we can tell. 630 said, hey, I'm a 64-year-old home child care provider. Us licensed providers got a letter from DCFS and the governor saying that it's our decision whether to continue to work or not. But if in the risk group, which I am, somebody over the age of 60, we should not accept children into our homes. I haven't worked the last several weeks. I wonder if the state would allow this person to accept unemployment, because essentially what they're doing is ramping their business down. They're not unemployed, but they Ruth, common sense says they shouldn't be having kids come in.
I know. This is a difficult one, and I actually had spoken to another one of your listeners yesterday who was an Uber driver, and he's in his 60s, and his doctor said at his age he shouldn't be driving. The problem is, as I read the expansion of the scope of people who are covered, they're not including people who leave a job in an essential area where they haven't been directed, you know, not to work by the state, and they haven't been terminated if they leave just because they're high risk. Those people, as far as I, when I'm reading what's out there, are not, would probably not be covered.
I want to give you time to say just one more thing, but I will take Henry as our last call. Henry, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you, sir?
Hey, good morning. Ruth, if I'm an independent contractor limo guy, am I eligible for benefits?
Yeah, you, the fact that you're an independent contractor would have prevented you in the past, but they're now allowing it during this, during the pandemic. So you should apply, and then it'll all depend on how much you know. They'll look at your earnings to make sure you qualify. But yeah, you should apply, and I do think if you're otherwise eligible, you should get benefits.
If you want to ask Ruth more questions, she may charge you. She's a lawyer, you know, but I think this is time and money well spent. It's major-law.com. The office number is 312-893-7544. 312-893-7544. Major-law.com. Any last thing you want to throw in there before I let
you
go?
Few things I wanted to say. I have heard some people have gone on and the computer has indicated they're going to get zero benefits when it seems like they should. Just if you're getting information that seems like you're going to be denied, just double check to make sure that you've entered everything accurate. The system does allow you to appeal. So if you apply and you don't get it, it makes sense to submit an appeal. Then it goes to a telephone hearing with a referee. It's a judge, basically, and they'll decide whether you should have gotten benefits. So don't give up if for some reason you're rejected initially. Also, I had someone call yesterday who works in an essential industry, and they wanted to wear a mask because they have an underlying condition, and they were being told that they couldn't. You can request accommodations under the Americans with Disabilities Act. You need to get something from your physician to support that. But if your physician thinks that you should wear a mask or some other protection, definitely don't forget that you have that route as well. We also talked yesterday briefly about if you have coronavirus or a family member and you're caring for them, I would suggest asking the physician for documentation of it in case unemployment does require it. And the last thing I just wanted to say on all of this is that when you do apply, they generally do require you to use your vacation days first. So when people are figuring out what they're going to do, if you have 2 weeks or 3 weeks accumulated, sometimes I've hit clients who have 100 days accumulated, just remember that you will end up having to use those vacation days before they'll start giving you the unemployment benefits.
Karen Conti's an attorney in town. She was on with our Bob Surratt earlier this morning, and she said, maybe you would agree with this, that you can have these phone conversations, but try and get email documentation. So if somebody says something, you can say, no, I have this email from this office. You people told me that. Maybe that'll help you down the road as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And any document, and I always tell people when they're applying for Family and Medical Leave Act or asking for accommodations, always even show what you're doing in an email if you can, because sometimes with even Family and Medical Leave Act, they'll say, you know, well, you didn't submit something. Or if you're getting terminated now, you want to make sure that there's documentation of that so they don't later claim, well, you quit or you didn't show up or something. So documentation is always important to have.
Ruth Major, attorney in town, major-law.com. Last time, 312-893-7554. I'll call you again, Ruth. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks. Hope everybody stays well.
You betcha. And expertise.